inmates at the Waupun and Green Bay prisons have been on lockdown since early this year, but changes from the governor's office could finally be on their way. It's Thursday, November 16th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, some gig workers could be labeled as independent contractors if a new proposal gets passed. And a major lawsuit challenging state legislative district maps is heading to the Wisconsin Supreme Court next week. I'll be chatting with WPR's Rich Kramer about what's on the line with the case. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Today makes staying current on Wisconsin news easy. You can enjoy these 10 minutes of statewide news with context thanks to community support. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Governor Tony Evers says he's taking steps to improve conditions inside of two of Wisconsin's oldest prisons. As Sarah Lear reports, the announcement follows public pressure over lockdowns.
For months, people incarcerated at the Waupun and Green Bay prisons have been largely confined to their cells under what the Department of Corrections calls modified movement status. But this week, Evers said the state is lifting some of the lockdown measures as officials work to hire more security staff. And the governor announced plans to reduce overcrowding at Waupun by transferring some of the people incarcerated there to other prisons. Dante Cottingham is an activist who used to be incarcerated at Green Bay. He says the governor's reforms don't go far enough.
Keeping those men inside of Green Bay and Waupun is essentially continuing the torture of those men.
Last month, inmates at Waupun filed a federal lawsuit alleging conditions there amount to cruel and unusual punishment. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin state legislators are weighing a proposal to make some gig workers independent contractors. Drivers for ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft and delivery drivers for services like Instacart would be included. That would mean that they would not have access to Wisconsin's workers' comp or unemployment insurance programs. Katie Franger is a lobbyist for Uber. She says many drivers want the flexibility to set their own schedules.
That traditional work schedule does not actually fit their unique circumstances because they have to care for a child or an elderly parent that requires them to be home in the middle of the workday, or because they actually retired from their career and they just want to make periodic income to help fund their hobbies.
Organized labor opposes the bill. They say the independent classification opens workers up to exploitation. The Wisconsin proposal is part of a nationwide conversation about how to classify gig workers. The Biden administration has proposed a rule to call them employees, and that would allow access to certain benefits and protections, like a minimum wage. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is holding firm on the legislature's decision to deny state funding for a new engineering building at UW-Madison. Speaking to reporters this week, Voss tied funding for the engineering building to what he called a staffing bloat at state colleges, as well as diversity programs. UW-Madison says those issues have, quote, nothing to do with the project. Earlier this month, 40 state business leaders signed on to a letter advocating for the building. Oshkosh Corporation CEO John Pfeiffer signed the letter. He says space constraints have limited enrollment in Madison's engineering college, and he says that's driving professionals out of the state.
If somebody doesn't get into Madison and therefore goes out of state to another premier engineering school, they are far less likely to come back to the state of Wisconsin.
The university says the new facility would allow it to graduate roughly 1,000 more engineering students each year. A proposed casino in Kenosha is one step closer to approval. Margaret Faust reports agreements between the tribe and local governments are up for a vote this month.
The agreements suggest how the Menominee Tribe, the City of Kenosha, and Kenosha County will work together if the project is approved. Instead of paying property taxes, the tribe would pay the city and county millions of dollars every year. The money could go towards things like emergency services, public works projects, and schools. Kenosha County Board Member Brian Thomas says he has questions about the economic consequences.
Gambling has a huge downside for a lot of people that can't afford to throw money away. But in the bigger picture of things, I think it's a legal business.
The Menominee say they desperately need the money for health care, education, and housing. Margaret Faust, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Get ready. That lawsuit seeking to undo Republican-drawn state legislative district maps is going to be heard by the Wisconsin Supreme Court next week. Coming up, I'll chat with WPR's Rich Kramer about what's at stake with the case. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court will soon hear opening arguments in a redistricting case that could have major implications for voting in Wisconsin. Joining us to discuss is Rich Kramer, who's been covering this here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Alex.
Can you start by explaining what is redistricting and what's really at stake in this case?
Redistricting is a term that a lot of people have heard about, but maybe they don't know the nuts and bolts of it. Essentially, we're talking about the shape and size of districts for state assembly, state senate, etc. The maps that we have right now, the lines were drawn by Republicans. And even though Wisconsin is known as a 50-50 state, there's a two-thirds Republican majority in the state legislature. So the lines go a long way in determining who gets elected.
So what exactly does this lawsuit hope to accomplish then? Are they hoping to kind of just get rid of the districts that we know entirely?
Yes. Yeah. Democrats filing the lawsuit, these are individual Democratic voters. They want the court to declare that the Republican maps are unconstitutional, and they want to have the court order new elections for all 132 state lawmakers under new maps by next fall. Typically, there's 99 assembly seats and half of the state Senate seats up for election every 2 years. But because senators serve four-year terms, that would mean special elections for a lot of individuals. And then the regular cycle would get started again in 2026.
There has to be a pretty solid argument if they're going to take this drastic step. What exactly is the argument being made that the current maps are unconstitutional?
Well, the lawsuit is asking the Supreme Court to decide whether or not the Republican maps violate two things in the state constitution. One has to do with contiguity. That's a complicated term for an idea that a voting district should all be within the same boundaries. Right now, 55 of Wisconsin's 99 state assembly districts and 21 of the 33 state senate districts have non-contiguous, what they call islands, essentially chunks of that district that are outside of the borders of the rest of it. The other question is whether or not the GOP maps violate the Constitution's separation of powers clause. The petitioners are saying that because the Supreme Court chose maps drawn by the Republican-controlled legislature that were vetoed by Governor Evers but never overridden by lawmakers, the court essentially usurped the legislative process.
So there's a couple of different arguments that are being made here. Are there a couple of different possible outcomes, or is it basically just keep them as they are, or get rid of all the maps and order new elections entirely?
All of the above. I mean, who knows what will end up happening, but when the court's liberal majority accepted the redistricting lawsuit, it asked all the parties in the case to kind of guide them. They asked, what should the court use in terms of guidelines when imposing a remedy for these alleged constitutional violations? As I said before, petitioners want it all. They want new maps. They want new elections. And the Republicans, state senators that are part of the lawsuit, and the legislature as a whole that is part of the lawsuit, they want the whole case dismissed, so they don't want any change. In past redistricting cases in Wisconsin and around the nation, courts have made some small adjustments sometimes as it relates to, say, the Federal Voting Rights Act, or courts can also make big changes.
And that's still something that is a pretty likely outcome, right, with liberals now controlling the majority of the Supreme Court. So if they do rule in favor of new maps and, say, toss these out, where does that leave us? Could this go to the U.S. Supreme Court, or will this be the final say?
That is very hard to say. Assembly Speaker Voss has already said that the U.S. Supreme Court will have the last word on this, on the redistricting lawsuit. The U.S. Supreme Court does get involved in these things sometimes. In 2021, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Wisconsin Supreme Court's initial decision in a state redistricting case that generated the maps we have right now. But arguments in this case are different than last time, and some legal experts that I've talked to have said that whether the Supreme Court will get involved or try to change anything at the state level is far from certain.
A lot of eyes around the country are watching how a pivotal state like Wisconsin could have their maps changed right before the 2024 election. Rich Kramer here at Wisconsin Public Radio joining us to discuss. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
And you can learn more about Wisconsin's fight over redistricting on our podcast, WPR Reports Mapped Out. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and of course, our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We'll be right back here in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning, like we are each and every weekday morning. Until then, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.